good friend and mentor, Gerald Marsh, friend and neighbor from Hyde Park, and swimming friend. And we've had very many conversations. We talk a lot about a lot of things, and science and religion, among others. And he has agreed to sit down and chat for some time about this. So let me just introduce him. Gerald Marsh is a physicist retired from Argonne National Laboratory who has worked and published widely in the areas of science, nuclear power, and foreign affairs. He was a consultant to the Department of Defense on strategic nuclear technology and policy in the Reagan, Bush, and Clinton administrations, and served with the U.S. STAR delegation in Geneva. He is a fellow of the American Physical Society. Just to start us off, I'll ask Jerry to talk as he finds appropriate a little bit about these big, big themes of science and religion and how he approached them. And I know he's written a little bit about this, and he has been thinking about these issues all his life.
I have indeed, Adrian, and thank you very much for the lovely introduction. In fact, you actually sent me some articles today about science and religion, and the first thing that struck me about those was, of course, we always talk about science and religion, but we never define what we mean by science or religion. So I think the first thing that we might want to do is ask, what do we mean by these terms? Because there's always a vast confusion. Science enables you to do what William Blake said a long time ago, and I couldn't resist using this, to see a world in a grain of sand and a heaven in a wild flower. Hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour. That's what science now allows us to do. It's a stunning view of the universe. We now can understand the universe from the first fraction of a second of its coming into being. How atoms were formed, how particles were formed, how stars were formed, and how ultimately planets and us were formed. Biology is an amazing field now. Science gives you a breadth of understanding of how all this happened. But it has one commonality that you should have caught in what I just said, which is when the universe came into being. What is the truth of all religions? It is the birth of the universe, the creation, it's called, the creation of the universe. In science, scientists would tell you it came into being some 14 billion years ago. That's very good. But science will not tell you why it came into being. It tells you how, not why. Religion, on the other hand, is a very broad topic. It deals with many, many things, not just the creation myths of mankind or the creation of the universe or of human beings. It deals with many, many things, and it's important that we distinguish when we're going to talk about religion, what we're talking about. Are we talking about Buddhism? Are we talking about theophany, the revelationary type of religions like Christianity, Judaism, or possibly including Islam there? Are we talking about that? Those are different things. Because when you talk about those, you're talking about truths that have been given to mankind by God. They're immutable. They cannot be changed. When you talk about the laws of physics, the laws of science, that's not true. They're only temporary. They're provisional. The understanding of the universe in terms of science has changed dramatically over many centuries. So, in fact, the only truths that are immutable are religious, not scientific. Science is always up for question. So there's at least a few thoughts about what we can talk about.
That's a very surprising answer, I have to admit, from you. The fruits of religion, yes, there is an unchangeable core to them, but shouldn't we maybe turn it and say that the fundamental questions of the human being are unchangeable, and like the quest for meaning, the quest for closure, the quest for solace, the issue of suffering, issue of evil. And then people use various instruments, among them religion, to grapple with these very deep and fundamental questions, which are always, we can say, going to be there in human life.
I think you're right. The thing about science is it does not answer questions to all of the experiences that humanity has. Mm-hmm. Science answers only a very narrow subset of questions. How did the world come into being? Mm-hmm. How does the sun last for 4 billion years? How do these things operate? Science can tell you about that. It can't tell you how you feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
It can't explain to you the feeling of a sort of oceanic one, a feeling one gets when if one has a religious experience. It can't tell you what a religious experience is.
Mm-hmm.
These are very different things.
Mm-hmm.
So it can't prove or disprove the existence of God. And the Catholic Church, for one, which seems to be one of the most dogmatic, you might think, but in truth, there have been statements by, I can't remember which pope it is, I believe it was Pope Paul, just relatively recently, that there's no incompatibility between science and religion. That the only thing that should not be looked at and thought of as scientific is the creation, the coming into being of the universe. Everything else is just another way of following God's will. If you want, religion could say that one understands the universe through science because God set it in motion. There's no way science can say that's right or wrong. Whatever laws of the universe there are, they are there. Are they immutable? I don't think physics or science can tell you that. They can tell you, this is what we know now. And in the end, everything we know comes through our senses and instruments that we have that can extend those senses and logical thought. So one of the really wonderful questions is, what is logical thought? Why does it apply so well to the world around us? What is mathematics? Why does it work so well? And not that you necessarily need mathematics to understand the basics of this incredibly stunning view of the universe that science now offers humanity. You can understand that without the mathematics. Not in depth, you can't work out the equations, but you can understand what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I wasn't going there this early, but since you brought it up, I mean, and we've talked about this before, it's this deep understanding that number is at the core of reality, which was an inkling of Pythagoras very, very long ago. And Pythagoras himself, probably legendary figure, but also both an ascetical figure, very religious, but also the deep insight that everything in reality is number. Can you talk a little bit more about the nature of reality as ordered, as logical, right? And maybe with that famous saying by Einstein that maybe you have it fresh in your that the fascinating thing about the world is that it is explainable.
Yes, yes, very much so. And explainable very often in terms of mathematics.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that because you put together a mathematical expression for the world that it's right. In fact, quite often we find that it's not.
Yeah.
You can make mathematical expressions that are wrong. I mean, they're right, they're correct in mathematics, but they're wrong when it applied to the world in some way. The world doesn't work that way. Some of the examples might be very simple ones. The Newtonian mechanics. This is a conception of the world that existed in the 19th century, that things moved like they were a clockwork. But in fact, the universe doesn't work that way. And quantum mechanics that was discovered early in the 20th century helped us understand that that in fact the universe is much more complex than this simple idea of a mechanism that works like a clock. It's not like that at all. And when we in fact get down to what the ultimate pieces of matter are, it is amazing how they follow mathematics. It is amazing how the effectiveness of in group theory of explaining, group theory is a type of mathematics, of explaining what fundamental particles are. People have gone even so far as to say that it is the mathematics that is the particle. And in a sense, that's what you've done in the theories, is you've assigned a mathematical quality to a particle. That is the particle in terms of the mathematics. Is that what reality really is? How can we know? We can only know what we measure. And it was only in the 17th century with the Enlightenment that we came to think of discovering what the world is through observation and experiment. Before that, the world was given to you by religion. And there we come to full circle. What is the conflict with religion and science? The one believes revelation is given by God. Science believes, and some religious people believe, that revelation is the process of discovery through human knowing about the universe. And if one accepts that concept of revelation, there is no conflict between religion and science. If one insists on the type of religion that says that biblical writings are absolutely true, there is a conflict. And it's probably not a reconcilable conflict. So what has to be done to make all this work and eliminate these sort of culture wars between science and religion is that science needs to realize that there are many dimensions in human experience that cannot be covered by science or the scientific method. Because how can you? What's an emotion in science? I mean, I can tell you what parts of your brain are doing what areas are functioning, but I can't tell you what the subjective experience of an emotion is scientifically. On the other hand, religion has to realize that it cannot tell us how the sun works. It cannot tell us how the universe evolved from its initial beginning. Science can tell you that. But religion is not going to tell you that. It can give you a substitute for it. But one of the crucial issues that I know you're going to raise is the whole concept of morality and where do we get our values from if we don't have religion. So it's your turn.
Yeah.